When my grandfather, Edgar Newman, was 35 years old, he took his own life, leaving my grandmother alone and in real poverty to raise my father and his four siblings. Into the breach stepped a godly man named Jay Myers. He was an uncle by marriage, not by blood, but he helped raise my father and his siblings. And so when I was born, I was named Jay to honor him. When I was 13, Uncle Jay died, full of years. And at his funeral, I saw my father cry for the first time in my life. That is where I learned to hate death. Up to that moment, I knew about death, of course, as we all do, from the death of pets, ancient aunts. But this was real, and it made my father cry, and I hated death. Perhaps not coincidentally, 4 months after that funeral, I became an atheist. It was years before I connected the events in my mind. Even now, I'm not sure what the direct connection is, if any. But it's worth noting nonetheless. Then in the summer of 1981, between my freshman and sophomore years of college, one of my classmates died suddenly from an unknown heart defect. A vigorous, athletic man, he just dropped over dead. The shock of his death was the final event in a long series of events that led several months later to my becoming a disciple of the Lord Jesus. In other words, sometimes death is not simply hateful, it is an opportunity for grace. But whether we experience death as a grief or an opportunity, this much we know, it is ruinous to everything that we are. It rips us away from everyone we love. It tears apart the unity of body and soul, which is first knit together in our mother's wombs. It is our last and worst enemy. And it would be the cause of utter hopelessness for the human race. Except for one thing. A man died and was buried, and 3 days later walked out of his grave. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead transforms the reality of death for all who are conformed to his death by grace through faith, and who therefore become heirs of the glory of his resurrection. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. The Lord Jesus is revealed not only as the Good Shepherd who gives life to his sheep, but also as the Lamb of God, whose blood is our redemption from the grave. And in the second lesson this morning from chapter 7 of the book of Revelation, we hear John's account of the glorious vision. of the saints and angels worshiping that Lamb at the throne of grace. I, John, had a vision of a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation, race, people, and tongue. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. The white robe, the symbol of their purity, the baptismal garment. The palm branches, the symbol of their victory over death in Christ. Then one of the elders said to me, "The elders are numbered 24, standing for the 12 patriarchs of Israel and the 12 apostles of the Lamb." One of the elders said to me, "These are the ones who have survived the time of great distress." And what time is that? Human life. Christians are not exempt from grief and suffering and tribulation of every kind. But if we are in Christ, death is not the last word. That enemy has already been defeated. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That is what happens at our baptism. It is what is renewed in us every time we go to confession. It is what is perfected in us every time we worthily receive the Most Holy Eucharist. For this reason, they stand before God's throne and worship Him day and night in His temple. The one who sits on the throne will shelter them. They will not hunger or thirst anymore. For the Lamb who is in the center of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to springs of life-giving water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. It is my hope to see that bright vision one day myself. It is my hope there to see again my Uncle Jay. It is my hope to see there the grandfather I never knew, his despair destroyed by the victory of the Lamb. It is our hope to see there all who have been given to the Lamb. No one can take them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. It is too much to hope, as Sam Gamgee did, that everything sad will come untrue. But we must hope that every wound will be healed, every wrong righted, every soul redeemed, every child of Adam made a child of God and gathered at the throne to share in the eternal worship of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ.